don't need lies. It's getting a little warmer, slowly, slowly, and we had some rain last night, so that was good. Alhamdulillah, with rain there's mercy from Allah.
Yes, Alhamdulillah. Yeah, also in South Africa, I'm speaking about our surrounding areas in Johannesburg. We've had this. I actually told my daughters the other day that this is, because it's just a beautiful flow of rain. It's not too harsh or hard. It's beautiful. And I said, this is Allahumma sayyiban nafi'a kind of rain. That beautiful,
yeah,
beneficial kind of rain. It's just beautiful for the crops as well. It's not too,
yes,
normally you get this hard rain and then what happens is cause floods and all of this. Yeah. So it seems like we together with Pakistan for a change.
For a change. Oh, yeah. The oil is coming together.
There's no more climate change. It's Allah's climate.
Well, yeah. Well, there's still a climate change, like in America, there's change. And like near New York, a lot of snow and heavy winds, okay, in New York and other places in America. So, yeah, they're still complaining about the climate change. But I know since the end of the conflict, meaning the bombing over in Gaza, since then, America especially has been getting a lot of problems. Okay, natural disasters, as they say.
Yes.
Oh, the fires and now the winters, very, very rough winters and whatnot. So since the turn of the year, since January.
And yesterday I reported it, there was torrential downpours in Kentucky and southeast of U.S. And 10 people actually died. This was yesterday and it's continuing today. More people are dying. So you're quite spot on that.
Yeah. Alhamdulillah. Allah's the best protector. And he takes revenge on the enemies of Islam and the enemies of Allah. So Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah.
Mufti Saab, this is a... I'm sure you've... I was just, you know, I get shocked when I see these things because South Africa, to be honest, for many years, okay, besides for apartheid, maybe there we made it global. But other than that, we're not like such a high-tighty country or, you know, like... So when we make it to the BBC and these, like, something, and I was shocked to see... Firstly, okay, now we are a threat to Trump and the rest. He says we anti-American because of so many reasons. We're not standing with him and his ally. Well, we say to you, I would just this thought crossed my mind this morning that how many people are staying in America, but they're against America. That's something that they're against Trump. How many people are staying in the rogue regime, Israel, but they're against Netanyahu. So it's not like something new that we... who are here, we are opposing you. The real...
Yeah, well, the blacks have been opposing any American president, you know, for so long. Yeah, I agree with you, you know. It's not 100% people that appreciate or support Trump.
Yes.
When you have people like Elon Musk is doing, you know, some of your dirty work for you, then what kind of person are you?
Yes.
Okay.
And
I just saw Elon has 13 children.
Yes.
But only 6 of them was from his wife. Okay. 13 children, but 6 are from his wife. 7 are out of marriage. And one of his children from his wife is trans, was born a boy and now considers itself a girl.
Okay.
And this guy is going into the American government, sorting things out, for finding out corruption and government waste and things like this. He can't solve his own house problems.
And the best part is he's from Pretoria, South Africa.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, yes. That's not talked about too much. That he's South African, really, or from South Africa. So, mashallah.
No, the issue there is where he fits in is because Trump wants to is giving refugee status to those Afrikaners from Pretoria who want to go, if they have the option, if they want to go back to the U, if they want to go to the US. So you can already see the, if you just follow the, join the dots, you can see what's happening. Because
So Peoria was is like it was basically white dominated before apartheid, during the
yes.
apartheid time. Mostly white people live there. Is that
Yes.
it?
Yes.
Okay. That makes sense then.
Yeah. And
Right now, what is it now? I mean, what was it before? It was like 80% African and 20% white. That's the way it was, or is in South Africa?
are you speaking about now?
Okay, now and then, when before Mandela became president,
They
during the
don't.
struggle.
Well, I haven't really looked at the stats there, but now it's, you can say, almost balanced, and even
50
in
50.
more or less, yes. But we can check
Okay.
exact figures and Pretoria stats in terms of race. We can just check it up quickly while I'm doing that. What I wanted to
Okay.
actually say is this year that so they are granted, so here's the I don't know if you spoke about it previously, but we can just mention it here because it's the point of discussion here at this time. So he's giving, Trump is giving this refugee status to the whites, Afrikaners, and yet you're getting Afrikaners who have spoken out as till now, and they've said, they've written a letter also to Trump. In there, they've said, but why, the blacks are also suffering and they are also farmers, but how come they are not granted refugee status? And then the question goes on to say that if you are going to become a refugee in America when you have freedom here in South Africa, and there's no, many people have spoken out against this, that Trump is just blowing his trumpets because there's no real, there's no real what he's saying, that there's inequality or discrimination of this nature. And we, it's not, it's the Afrikaners themselves. They said, we don't want to move to America and get refugee status only after a few years to be kicked out again, as they are seeing with so many of the other migrants and immigrants.
Well, they have a better chance of staying because they're white. That's the thing.
Yes.
The refugee status is, like here in Pakistan, they have a refugee. They're pushing back all refugees, allegedly. But everybody knows that they're only going after the Afghans. Okay? If you're a refugee or you're somebody, an immigrant, but you're not Afghani, the Pakistani government's not really looking at you too toughly. So America's pretty much the same way. They're not saying that they're racist, but they've never said that they were racist. But yeah, it's only looking after the Mexicans and some other people from South America that they're really looking at.
Yes.
So, of course, Trump doesn't have to go any further than his current wife and his ex-wife.
Yes.
All right, they're immigrants, so we
And
know he's not telling 100% truth.
exactly. And the thing is, like you've said, they are they never ever said they were racist. Like they've never ever said that they were terrorists. They are just looking after the interests of the rogue regime Israel. Like they sent yesterday, it reached the shores of Israel, that they sent 1,800 of, what was it, munitions, 1,800 bombs. I remember, and I wanted to say this in the beginning, where you couldn't just speak out and speak about a bomb just like that. If you go to the airport, you're a Muslim, and you said bomb, that was like something, you would get a dirty look from those people around you. This man said a, he said the word bomb, it's like the B word. So nowadays, because it's for the US, sending bombs, it's just become like a norm. You know, okay, they're sending bombs to kill children, to kill women. It's fine because it's the US, they're above the law. But the reality is, and this is what we want to discuss here at this current stage, is the queer status in South Africa Pakistan and the US, because those are the countries that we are affiliated with, or your ex-country, Muftisa. So here in South Africa, I'm sure you've seen what has taken place over the weeks, and that's what I was saying. It's reached BBC and it's reached all the CNN. They're making a big noise about it. A queer imam got shot. Well, those two words can't go together. It's like a person
Exactly,
from, it's like
oxymoron.
a person who is from, I witnessed it myself. Some countries, they, in order to say yes, they're not there. Now, if I ask a South African to do that, say yes, but nod your head like you're saying no. It just goes against the grain. You can't do it. So, putting this here together, queer and imam, it doesn't go together. Already by doing that, what you are doing is you are saying it's perfectly fine. And Mufti, I'll send you the list afterwards. 214 professionals. These people have statuses of professors, doctors, and the rest. You're such a big professor, but you still can't identify which gender you are at. Or perhaps you do, but you're still standing for this cause. And all these queer people are suddenly getting a voice, and they are saying that we have, this is an imam who stood. Imagine you saying, this is an imam who stood for the haq. That's what they're saying. Is this not a slander upon Islam, a slander upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because if you dig deeper, these professors and professionals, whatever you want to call them, they say that gender, how can God is it doesn't have a gender? So we say, yes, laysa kamithli shay, there's nothing like Allah. But they have a problem with Allah's kalam because Allah, if you take kul huwa Allahu ahad huwa, they say, why is it he? Why mustn't it be she? So you have a problem with Allah's kalam already. You have a problem with Allah that it means.
Also calls himself we, right? And so when we done send down the Quran, okay, yeah, we have problems. People who haven't studied, or people who really don't live their religion, and just go along with the flow, and the number one poison is going to Western schools, gives them these type of ideas. All right, it's the same thing with the Bible. The Bible is the same way. So they have Bibles now that don't have he, it has she, or it's a gender neutral. So yeah, we're following just behind the Jews and the Christians. They've done the same thing to their books.
And this is the reality is if we as a ummah, we do not, this is not a, it's not a South African issue. It's a global issue. Why? Because you've seen all these websites, you've seen all these media outlets who have said the first global gay imam. So the first, imagine he's from here, he's from Cape Town. And the tragedy is if we're going to keep silent on this issue, then you will get these people coming about who have not, they can't even understand basic translation of the Quran Sharif. And we're not saying sit with the English translation. We're saying come, let's sit one on one. I remember, and Muftisab, you'll find this interesting. Mulana AS Desai Hafidhahullah, the Sahib e Majlis. He had this debate with the Barelvis. And he said, okay, come, let's take you on. And they said, okay, he must go first, he must speak. And you can confirm this with Azra. So he said, okay, first issue, let's go to Suratul Anbiya. Let's go to the verse, Wama arsalnaka illa rahmatan lil alamin. And you must make the tarkib. Now ask these professors, professionals, just give me what's the meaning of tarkib. They can't understand it. Now you're relying on the English translation for your to that's how you've become or you've reached this particular point where you have made certain deductions which is incorrect with the Quran because you don't understand the Quran. So he said, okay, come, make the tarkib of this particular verse. Wamar, so for the listeners, tarkib means to break down this particular sentence, Arabic. In this case, we speak about a verse. Where does it fit in when we're speaking in the point of view of grammar? Where does this word, when we say wa, what is wa? So we say harfi atf. We say ma, what is, so breaking down each. So he said, first do this, yeah, tarkib. They couldn't answer. They said, now you know how it goes, Mufti Saab. I'm sure you've dealt with this on many in many instances in your own experiences in your life. When they cannot answer you, then what do? They go around the book.
Attack.
They'll go to another topic. Okay, but this, you said this. So the way to deal with these people is go back to the original discussion. We are discussing point number one for now. Until we don't find a resolution for point number one, we're not going to point number two. So, like women, and you know, when couples, they have these arguments, the actual point, the actual issue is small, but what it boils or what it burns into other fires, then it becomes something major and catastrophic. But let's go down back to that simple, what's the real issue? They couldn't solve this. Hours and hours, they call for reinforcements, backup. Nobody could do this and the tarkib of this particular verse of the Quran. So that's the question here to these people as well. You can't even do basics and you want to come and have a say. And you, I don't know if you read the statement, Mufti Saab. The one where this 214 people came out and they said, this is our imam. He stood for the truth and he's set such a legacy and praising him. I'm just using paraphrasing here. But those, I can read out the whole letter, but there's no time for that. But, you know, like really considering...
I hadn't heard that before. I hadn't heard about that story, no.
Yeah, and these are Muslims, so-called Muslims. Not Muslims, Murtadin, as the Majlis has mentioned. But
if they follow that imam, then okay, you believe as that imam believes, and he was not Muslim. So these 200 people also not Muslim, they just follow suit, no problem.
Exactly. So the tragedy comes back in here is to say that, is it like you have chosen to become a police officer, for example, and you are there at the crime scene. You were there even when it while it was taking place. There was shooting going on. And you just stood and you just watched. And you said, there is something that is good that's going to come out of this. Can that be in the court? Can that be justifiable? You stood with your AK, with your gun, with everything. And nobody forced you to become a police officer. You chose to become it. Now for you to turn a blind eye, that's a crime. That's your crime. So this is the question. Once you've chosen to become an alim, once you've chosen to learn deen, now you'll see. And that's what I love about Hakimul Ummah. He said, I don't boast humility, nor am I filled with pride and arrogance. But at this point, I don't boast humility. So when you say, why are you not standing? No, we are nothing. You know, we can't stand. What are we? This is not the time to show humility now. This is the time.
Stand up.
Yes. So once you've chosen to learn deen, you're supposed to stand for it.
Exactly. And that's part of also being a good da'i. Okay, especially in your country and in my old country, America, where the majority of people are not Muslim. Over here, it's a little bit different since everybody is 90% or whatever is supposed to be Muslim. But I had the feeling, especially after reading a lot of Maulana Desai's stuff and all the good friends that I had, that if someone looked at me too long, who was not Muslim. I felt I had an obligation to talk to that person because on Qiyamah, that person could bring me in front of Allah. When Allah asked him, how come you didn't become Muslim? And that person answered, well, I, I didn't, the message didn't come to me, or no one explained it to me. And then Allah said, didn't you know Hassan Suleiman? Didn't you meet him one time? He didn't tell you? And no, he didn't tell me anything. Then what would I tell my Lord then? Now, we should all be thinking like that, especially those of you in South Africa. And you don't have to go to the madrasa, okay? But you do have to learn your deen, okay? And always be afraid that you know somebody and you haven't given them dawah, all right? And that's your responsibility. You will be questioned about it because they'll be questioned. How come you didn't accept Islam? Well, I saw those Muslims and they didn't do anything. Well, they didn't explain anything to me. And you knew that person. You knew that person well. And you never even said anything to that person. You will be questioned. So keep that in the back of your mind, okay? And things like this won't be able to happen, that you just stand by idly while so-called queer imams are being assassinated.
Yes.
It just reached our paper yesterday, the local papers here in Pakistan, about this. So I hadn't heard too much from Pakistanis. Okay, so but I expect in the next couple of days to start hearing some things. Some people that are on the social media knew about it and complained that this is what's wrong with the world, that people are going around killing other people because of their sexual orientation. If that person's not harming anyone, you know, why do you have to be killed and things like this? Mm. Not speaking like a Muslim at all.
That's the exact tragedy, that secularism is a poison, has entered our systems. And you know,
yeah, human rights.
Yes.
They violated his human rights. What? You're speaking like a Muslim? All right. What about Allah's right?
Exactly.
Okay.
Mm. And
Allah created you male and female. Quran is clear with that.
And
so everything above two, we just throw out.
And exactly.
Okay.
What I find in our statements released by so-called Islamic organizations as well, is this, there's more focus on the fact that he was killed than the focus of he's been this imam for so many years and nobody's been able to do something. And finally, when someone stood up to say that they cannot tolerate this here, we are not saying that go and kill every single person who is of this nature. But when someone does something, you then now you look out and you make it seem like this person who is promoting all of this, he's been oppressed. He's the one who's been oppressed.
Yeah, now, what I read was that he's quoted as saying, the imam, the alleged imam, that he said that this homosexuality or same-sex, homosexuality, I guess, this is not only compatible with Islam, it's integrated or... Yeah, meaning Urdu would be lazimi.
Yes.
It's necessary.
Mm.
Huh? Necessary to be gay. What? So and this is your imam?
Yes.
They're saying that it's necessary? It's like wajib to be homosexual?
Exactly.
In Islam? What? Mm. He should have been killed a long time ago.
Exactly.
That's just the tragedy is that he lived so long after saying that. That was a tragedy. For 15 years, he spread that?
Exactly. More than that. But I think...
The saddest thing, though, that when I first heard about him, okay, when I came here, someone told me that he also attended classes in Benoit Town University. Benoit Town Jamia, which is not too far from me. Okay?
Oh.
And then went back to South Africa. So he knows the truth.
Yes.
He may have been poisoned by somebody along the way, but Maulana Bonori, rahmatullahi, he didn't teach that stuff.
Exactly. But anyway, Mufti, we're going to have to get on with this topic. I think it is a bit heated up. We'll have to
raising my blood pressure.
No, it's something that really needs to be addressed. And even if it means a small little place, small little mic, small little bit on your phone or small little status, a small little something. On the day of Qiyamah, Allah will ask us, what did you do? You were granted this. What did you do with it? So today, we did something at least, inshallah. Not to say we are pure or anything, but at the end of the day, it's Allah's deen. إِحْفَظِ اللَّهِ يَحْفَظْكَ. Protect Allah's deen, and He will protect you. So we've come to the end of this, Mufti. I think tomorrow, inshallah, we and carry on with this. Make dua for us.
Assalamu alaikum. Inshallah. Wa alaikum assalam.